Good morning. We're going to get started, so if you can come on in. So, wasn't last week just awesome? I felt like every room that I popped in was just full of smiling faces and lots of laughter and sharing, and that was sure a blessing to me. I left here just so excited and invigorated and encouraged, and I hope that you guys did too, and that you're already bonding with the women in your group. Before we get started with worship, I did just want to ask for one favor. We are really struggling with getting help for coffee setup and teardown. So if that is something that maybe you would be interested in helping, you can let your group leader know, and she will let me know, or you can grab me whenever you see me and let me know. That would be awesome. It would just be coming in around 9 to set up, and hopefully there's like a small group, so it's not always the same person, or someone can do the setup, someone can do the cleanup. You know, we can make light work with more hands. So please let me know. And with that, we're going to start with worship from Nate. And then Annie will be giving us our message later.
Let's stand to our feet.
Thirsty, come to the well that never runs dry. Drink of the water, come and thirst no more. Come all you sinners, come find his mercy. Come to the table, he will satisfy. Taste of his goodness, find what you're looking for.
Let's sing this out.
For God so loved the world that he gave us his one and only Son to save us. Whoever believes in him will live forever. Bring all your failures, bring your addictions, come lay them down at the foot of the cross. Jesus is waiting there with open arms. See his open arms, for God so loved the world that he gave us his one and only Son to save us. Whoever believes in him will live forever. The power of hell forever defeated. Now it is well, I'm walking in freedom. For God so loved, God so loved the world.
So sing praise God.
Praise God, praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, for the wonders of his love. Praise God, praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, for the wonders of his love, for God so loved the world that he gave us, his one and only only Son to save. For God so loved the world that He gave us His one and only Son to save us. Whoever believes in Him will live forever. The power of hell forever defeated. Now it is well, I'm walking in freedom. For God so loved the world. In the darkness we were waiting, without hope, without light. So from heaven you came running, there was mercy in your eyes. To fulfill the law and prophets, to a virgin came the word. From a throne of endless glory, to a cradle in the dirt. Praise the Father. Praise the Father. Praise the Son. Praise the Spirit. Three in one. God of glory, majesty. Praise forever to the King of Kings. To reveal the kingdom coming and to reconcile the lost. To redeem the whole creation, you did not despise the cross. For even in your suffering, you saw to the other side. Knowing this was our salvation, Jesus, for our sake you died. Oh, praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings. And the morning that you rose, all of heaven held its breath, till that stone was moved for good. For the Lamb had conquered death, and the dead rose from their tombs, and the angels stood in awe. For the souls of all who'd come to the Father are restored, and the Church of Christ was born. Then the Spirit lit the flame. Now this gospel truth of old shall not kneel, shall not faint. By His blood and in His name, in His freedom I am free. For the love of Jesus Christ, who has resurrected me. Oh, praise Him and praise the Father. Praise the Son. Praise the Spirit. Three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings. Praise forever to the King of Kings. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me.
Amen. We're going to sing our scripture song now, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. So let's sing this together.
Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Let's sing that again.
Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ.
God, we thank you so much for that truth, Lord, and what an amazing thing it is, God, to sing out your scripture. And I ask that you would help it to become just part of who we are, Lord, that it become a song that we sing in our lives, Lord. And that this song, God, that Evie wrote would be something that we can carry with us, God, into our everyday. And just help your words to sink into our lives and help us to learn whatever it is, God, that you want us to learn. Be at the center of everything that happens here. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Why don't you guys find someone you haven't said hi to yet? Give them a hug. Greet them.
Well, welcome to session two. Last time, Natasha introduced us to this idea of a living hope. And in her talk, she told us a story about rats drowning in a bucket. And her story illustrated a key truth about hope. And this mic is doing not so good. And that was that a soul with hope can endure without giving up. We're working on it. Not that suffering in itself creates hope in us. No, because that would be Buddhism, you know? And we have to be on guard from that, because there's a lot of that thinking in our culture and even in our churches today. You hear no pain, no gain, right? And so that idea that suffering is actually the agent of good, and that's not what our Bible says. It wasn't being thrown into the bucket that grew hope in those rats. It was being pulled out of the bucket that grew hope in them, right? So if we want to, we can translate that lesson into spiritual terms, and we can say it like this. Someone who has personally experienced God's rescuing grace in the past is quite naturally having a sure expectation of receiving that same grace in the present. And that sure expectation of grace is exactly what we're talking about when we say a living hope, okay? So moving on to today's passage, Peter launches into this kind of extended exhortation to holy living. And if we read that section too quickly or too glibly, or without relating it to the rest of Scripture, none of those are good things to do, we could really easily come to a wrong conclusion. So what do we see in this passage? Verse 14 says, it tells us to be obedient children and to not be conformed to the world. And then verse 15, here's a tall order, be holy. Okay, now it just gets double tall, like God. and then it talks a little bit about judgment, just to up the ante a little bit. And then verse 22 says, this curious thing, having purified your souls by your obedience. And so we might be tempted to think that righteousness is something we attain by trying really, really hard, which is, of course, not the teaching of the Bible, of the gospel in whole, and not what we believe. So we have to kind of wrestle with what is Peter saying when he writes those verses, just to remind ourselves where we find that is not what the gospel teaches us. We'll just open any epistle, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Romans. Let's look in Romans chapter 3, right? Trying very hard. My favorite place to know that effort doesn't work is Nehemiah chapter 9. It's the very last book of the Bible, the Old Testament, to be written. And it's Nehemiah, when they finished the walls around Jerusalem, when they came back, he goes through the whole history of Israel, from kind of Adam until the coming back from the exile. And it's the saddest thing, because every time God rescues them and every time they fall again, it's just like, if you ever needed a proof that us trying hard doesn't do it, have a look at Nehemiah 9. So what is Peter saying? Well, that's a very good question. I hope that's one you'll chew over in your groups together. So what I'd like to spend the rest of this time on is what new things about living hope we get from today's passage. And that's mostly that verse 13, which is our memory verse. So I'm going to read it for you first, and then we'll talk three things that we can learn about living hope from this week's verse. I'm going to read it to you from the English Standard Version. I know y'all love girding up your loins. I do not so much. The King James Version, which I wouldn't pray the 23rd Psalm in any other version. It was started in 1606. It was translated into that language, not ours. And they completed it in 5 years with 1606 technology. That was back when they were like putting leeches on people for illness. ESV has been being worked on for just decades. It's with all the latest. So that's one I go to when I want to understand something. I love King James. It's poetic. It's beautiful. Here it is in ESV. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So I want to just point out three things about this living hope that we set our hope fully on at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So first of all, let's look at the question, where does this living hope come from? So I think it's good to go back to last week's verse 3, chapter 1. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope. Let me read that one more time. According to whose great mercy? God. He has caused. Who's making it happen? God. Us to be born again. Are people generally involved in their own birth? Only peripherally, right? God caused us. So when we look at verse 3 of chapter 1, it's all about God. God is starting it. But now let's skip to today's verse. That's verse 13, 10 verses down. Therefore, preparing your minds. Who's doing the preparing? We are. For action and being sober-minded. Who's being sober-minded? We are. Set your hope fully on the grace that is to be revealed when Jesus Christ. So who is setting their hope? We are. So which is it, God or us? Well, the answer, of course, is both. So the first thing about living hope is that this hope is something that we do in partnership with God. And that is just such a theme of my spiritual walk. It's just like, is it all God? Is it all me? Is it, you know, and to find how that works together. And so that's just a thought that I cherish, that living hope is something we do in partnership with God. So moving on, the second thing I want to say is this living hope is something we do with our minds. Let me read that again to you. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Preparing your minds. Be sober-minded. Set your hope. That's something that happens in your mind too. Mind. So why all this emphasis on our minds? And I believe that it's because, well, you could say maybe my mind is more where I am, kind of, right? Like I might end up a paraplegic or something, but I'd still have my mind and I'd still be me. But then why is my mind where I am? So you haven't really answered the question. So I believe that the emphasis on the mind and why we feel like our mind is kind of where we are most is because it's in the mind that we are most free. Let's think about that for a little bit. We are people and we have a lot of aspects to ours. So let's start outwards and work in. Let's think of our social context. Are we free in our social context? What is freedom? Well, freedom is to do as we choose or want. So think about the relationships you have and what you might want to do. So maybe some of you are moms. Maybe you want your kids to do a certain thing. Has that been successful? Maybe some of you are wives. Maybe you want to say, I would like you to stop scratching the sink with that stainless steel pan. Does that work? No, we're not free to do exactly as we want in our relationships, in our social context. All right, let's go down to our physical body. Are we free in our physical body? Well, to some extent. But a lot of ways, no. Can we have a certain hair color? Kind of. But can we change what comes out of our scalp? No. Can we change our eye color? Yeah, well, you could get those contact lenses. How about our height? That's pretty temporary. We could get up on something, but we're not really changing it. How about our weight? Yeah, I have not been super successful in changing that. How about our body type? Right? You just are kind of that. How about our age? Are we perfectly free to change in the context of our own physical body? Not really. So let's go in a little layer more. How about our emotions and our feelings? Are we free there? Kinda. Our mind affects our emotions, and so we can kind of alter our emotions like that, but kind of our emotions sort of come to us. There's that song, Don't Worry, Be Happy, and I like it when I already am happy, but if I'm sad, it doesn't help a lot, right? I'm worried. My dad's prostate cancer just went through the roof a couple days ago, and I was worried. And then yesterday the doctor said, oh, yeah, it's nothing to worry about. And then I was happy. But emotions kind of come to us. We're not so free. But in our minds are quite free. Not perfectly free, but quite free. Dallas Willard says it this way. He says, we simply turn our mind to whatever it is we choose to think of. And you can kind of think of that, like, say somebody took away your social contacts. They put you in prison. They take you, you know, they take away all the people around you, whatever. They lock you up. They put you in solitary confinement. They They put you in a box that's dark, you can't see anything. But you still have the freedom to think of what you do. I remember Terry Waite in that hostage crisis, and he was there in Iran, and he just would go over and over the Word of God. And he went so long, and he was so healthy in that thing because he was free to set his mind where he chose to set it. And he chose to set in on something life-giving, which was the Word of God, which is a great reason to memorize it. So memorize it in whatever version you like. So it is that Peter tells us in this verse how to do all those exhortations that he was giving us earlier about holiness. And he tells us this is how we do it. We simply turn our minds to God regularly, with intention, and over again, keep correcting ourselves. And that's how we do all that stuff. So we're going to set our hope fully on God. This hope is something that we do in partnership with God. And this hope is something that we do in our minds. And of course, when we do that in our minds, that is also in partnership with God. Jesus, near the end of his life, in the 12th chapter of John, he said, "And I, when I'm lifted up, will draw all people to myself." It's a verse I just love so much. And he was talking about his death on the cross, being lifted up on a cross. But he was also referring back to Numbers 21, and there was that weird story with Moses, and he put this serpent up on a thing, and people were sick, and all they had to do was look up, and they got better. And what Jesus is saying, I think, is that all we need to do is look to the cross, and he'll do the drawing for us. He will draw us to himself, right? So we just set our minds, set our hope fully on the grace that is coming to us, that is being brought to us. So all we have to do is look up, and God does all the rest. So it's something we do in partnership with God. It's something that happens in our minds in partnership with God. And then our third thing, finally, is that this living hope is something we do in community. Set your hope on the grace that is to come. That your is plural. It's a y'all's, right? This is all instructions to a church. And he doesn't say, you do it on your own. And why doesn't he? Well, because being hopeful on our own doesn't work when times get hard. I'm thinking of the AA 12-step program, which has helped so many people out of hard times. And that first step is to admit I'm powerless. Anybody here got problems? I got problems. Check. And the second step says, we came to believe that a power higher than us, aka God, can restore us. And AA is all about getting together with other people who had a problem and came to believe that God could help them overcome that problem. That's hope, coming to believe that God can help our problem. And so what AA says is, get together with other people who have that hope, who have experienced that hope, who have been fished out of the bucket before, so that when you're in the bucket, you can be lifted up and supported by those around you. Because when times are hard, we lose hope. When we're struggling to believe that things can get better and we're struggling to have hope, we need that support of a community that will hope on our behalf. So living hope, we learned three new things this week. We learned that living hope is something that we do in partnership with God. We learned that living hope is something that we do in our minds. And we learned that living hope is something that we do in community. Pray with me, okay? Oh, Heavenly Father, we turn our minds to you right now. Lord, you are the creator. You are all powerful. You are eternal from forever and to forever. Lord, on top of that, you are good and you are glorious and you are our savior. Lord, it is that you that we turn our minds to. We just look up and ask you to draw us to you. And we thank you that when we do, you're right there alongside us to help us set our hope on you. You give us all the hope we could ask for and even imagine. And we also thank you for the gift of all our believers, for the sisters right here in this room, We support each other, and together we set our minds fully on the living hope that we have in you. And we give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.